Kind and gracious Father, King of the universe, maker of all things, you looked upon the earth after you were done with your creation, and you saw that by your hand, by your desire, by your power, that all was good. When we leave things to the way that they should be, as you made them, things are good, and there is nothing that is evil. From the lowly pig, which is still created, we let it do what it's supposed to do. It is good. Father, forgive us for the corruption of the many different things that have happened since you allowed us to come. Since the garden, Father. We know that we are sinners. We are not perfect. Forgive us for those things. And help us along the way, Father, for whatever time that we may have here on this planet. From the divisions that we have caused from race, from creed, from color, from the economics, from our mishandling of the word, Father, from even our bias and our twisting of the word, Father, if you have called us to walk with you, that we should seek your way, Father, we pray that we can be humble. That sometime in our life, early in our walk, humility is something that we find great depths to, and along with you, Father, we continue to find even greater depths to that humility and that willingness to learn, to know that we are not infallible. Father, we pray for our two messengers today, that the words that they may speak may edify us, and that we may seek edification, and Father, no matter if the truth slaps us over the head, let us search it out, let us be as those noble Bereans, and to prove it out, and when we see it, when we discover it, we are willing to bow the knee and humble ourselves and say, Yahweh, your word is true. And we ask these things, Father. We ask the condolences for those who have lost, those who are seeking to come up and be better, to handle finances or to seek better jobs, to seek your word. And all the things that people have asked, Father, we ask, even in company, to gather with other brethren. Father, if it be your will, let your will be done. In Yahshua's name, amen. Again, today's message, our first message, is by Brother Jose Gonzalez.
Shabbat shalom to everyone. All right, defending your faith. It's kind of odd how I came up with the title, and interesting, when I typed it into the internet, there's books written with this title and stuff like that. But listening to that song, These Are the Days of Eliyah, says there, these are the days of famine and sword and trials. We definitely have a lot of sword going on, a lot of mass killings going on. So let's see, we try to tie this in. You know, we're talking about defending your faith. The best definition for faith is believing or trusting in what you cannot see. You can't see it with your eyes, yet you believe in it. It's crazy, isn't it? And such is the case when we believe in Yahweh, since according to the Messiah himself, no one has ever seen Yahweh or heard his voice. We were talking in the scripture study. People say they talked to Yahweh. People say they heard Yahweh. But did they really see Yahweh? What did the Messiah say? In John 1:18, you can go there, John 1:18, it says that no man has seen or heard Yahweh at any time. In some religions, those who are very zealous will die for what they believe in. We read about this. We see this on the news in our day and time. But one good question that we can ask is, why die for something when you can live for something? Yahweh's people are commanded to impale the flesh with the desires of it. It's interesting how things work out. Some of the comments I have here, they're working out with the baptism that we will have. It's perfect. Hallelujah. The people of Yahweh also share in the death of Yahshua when we are immersed into his name. We saw immersion last week. We're going to see another one. It's like a death that you're going through. You're torturing your members. And you're coming up a new person. We fight within ourselves every single day. knowing our old habits are very difficult to overcome. And the adversary is constantly putting stumbling blocks in our way. Every time you turn around, every time you think you overcame something, here's something else you have to work on. The awesome thing is, every time that we resist the wiles of the accuser, we become stronger in the faith. And all the glory goes to Yahweh and Yahshua because it shows that we trust them. A lot of times when we fail, it's because we don't trust in Yahweh. You can read about King Saul. He didn't wait for a few minutes and he disobeyed Yahweh. Right after he disobeyed Yahweh, here comes the prophet Samuel. He was told to wait. He couldn't wait. How many of us are like that? We can't wait. We got to have it now. We want the kingdom now. Let's go to Matthew 24, if you would. Matthew 24, this is a prophecy from the Messiah. He's given us insight into what's going to happen. But interesting how he starts out. I'll take verse 4 to 14. A lot of us, we read this many, many times. It starts out, and Yahshua answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Messiah,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this good news of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." I underlined, "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be offended, or you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now, why would people deliver you up to be afflicted? Because you're of the world? Why will they kill you? And how about, "Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake"? How many people out there hate it when you mention the name Yahshua? They don't like it. Now, when you mention the name Jesus, when you mention other titles, they don't really get on you as much. But this is prophetic. This is going to happen. It's going to happen to some of us. They're going to deliver us. Why? Because we're standing for Yahweh. Because we're on people's conscience. It's not that we're perfect. It's that we believe in the word of Yahweh. And so we try our best to carry it forth. And so there comes a price with that. If you go over to Psalm 116 real quick. This is actually where I got the idea, the inspiration for this topic. It's a curious verse, Psalm 116 and verse 15. It reads, "Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight, let that sink in. It's precious in his sight, the death of his saints. You think the death of his son was precious in his sight? Precious is 3368 in Strong's Hebrew Concordance, Yakar, which can mean valuable, costly, or precious. Also has a few other meanings that wouldn't make sense if you insert them in the place of precious. But if Abba feels that the death of those faithful to him is costly or valuable, then they truly are a peculiar or special people. That's how much he thinks of you. All those parents here today, all those grandparents, all those great-grandparents, how many of you would give your life for your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter? You wouldn't even think about it in a minute. Now, how about for a stranger that you don't know? How about for a filthy sinner that you don't know, that you never met, that is wholeheartedly against what you preach? So let's apply this to his only begotten Son. Yeshua's death means a lot, and it meant a lot. If Yeshua doesn't die and rise from the dead, then the Comforter would not come, and we would not be completely clean from our sin. You can read about that in John 16:7. It says, Yeshua says, it's a must that I leave you. Otherwise, the Spirit of Yahweh won't come. It won't be poured out. And in Hebrews 10:4, it says that the blood of bulls and goats, it cannot cleanse us completely from our sins. For that we say hallelujah. Many innocent animals died. For what? So once baptized into the only name given under heaven, we can become converted only by living a sanctified life. This is all part of, it's kind of second nature, but this is all part of defense. You can think about Yahweh's word as the offense. I think many confuse the fact that the goodness of Yahweh leads us to repentance. That's found in Romans 2:4. Many confuse the fact the goodness of Yahweh is supposed to lead us to repentance, not to disobedience. And many folks are not being taught that they have to walk in the steps of Yahshua, which means we will endure much suffering. So far, for how many weeks? Maybe 6 or 7? We've been reading about Job and about his suffering. Was he a wicked person or was he a righteous person? Why did he have to suffer so much? Why do we have to suffer so much? Over in Acts chapter 9 in verses 15 and 16. Some of us, this is your calling. This is my calling. Sometimes that's how it is. In Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, this tells us about Paul. This was his calling. But the master said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It doesn't say, as that saying goes, he's not going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise for Yahshua's name's sake. You might be wealthy, and that's not a sin, but some people are called to suffer. So sometimes, if that's what you're going through, then that's Yahweh's will for you. But just know that he knows you can handle it. He's not going to give you more than you can handle, as we heard in the scripture study. We had some good comments. I always appreciate it from the brethren online. One of the best ways to defend what you believe is to obey, not just give lip service. Faith without works is dead, just like a lifeless body that has no breath. You ever seen a dead body before, just lying there? It can't move, it can't do anything at one point. It may have a life, it might have been a great person. But that's it, it's over. That's how some people's faith is. We don't want it to get to that point. You got to keep stirring it, as the scripture says. Yahshua said, let your light shine before men. Do we let our light shine by imitating the world? Yahshua also said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that's very hard to do when you're witnessing sometimes. Because some people like to poke. They like to provoke you. If they know you have an anger problem, you know, they'll try to get you angry because it's funny to them. You see, they're not really serious. So Yahshua demonstrated his defense of Yahweh's word by walking in his father's precepts. Some people get defensive about certain things they're doing wrong when confronted about it. Some of the prophets, they showed their zeal for Yahweh, and they had to kill family and friends to demonstrate that they were serious. The Levites, after Moses came down from the mountain after meeting with Yahweh, is one instance. Samuel killing the king of the Amalekites after King Saul failed to do so is another instance. But Yahweh is not asking us in our time to kill anyone to show him that we have faith, that he is our Elohim. He's not doing that right now. Some people might take it upon themselves to do that. They're giving a false testimony. Yahshua came to save and not condemn. That's why his name literally means Yahweh saves, or salvation of Yahweh. So how did the Messiah defend his faith? He obeyed Yahweh fully and taught how to obey without adding or subtracting from the word. No traditions. It's just like plain food with no condiments. It tastes bland, just like unleavened bread. That's what Yahshua is. Unleavened, no leaven. When you see him, you think he's just a normal person from around the way. In Numbers chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, you can read there. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed Yahweh. These men obeyed Yahweh, and he gave them a blessing that not even Moses or Aaron received. How great was Moses? How many times does Yahshua quote Moses? Yet he didn't make it to the promised land. Why? Because he made mistakes. Because he wasn't perfect. The very thing that was said of him, his humility, is the very thing that got him in trouble. He lost it for just a minute. We have to think about that. Look at this. Yahweh inspired Moses to write in Deuteronomy 5:29. Deuteronomy 5:29. There's a song on this verse. It says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." So not just you, but your children also. Oh, that there was such a heart in us that we would fear Yahweh. This is inspired scripture. This is, think of a desire that Yahweh has for his adopted children. All the parents, you have desires for your children, right? You wish that they would go on to be bigger and better people than you would. All the parents that always say, you know, I want you to have things that I couldn't have, that I couldn't afford. Why? For whatever reason. That's what I want for you. I want what's best for you. But first things first, you got to learn your lessons. You have to pay attention when you're being taught. These words are coming from a loving father who wishes the best for those whom he is calling. There's no need for violence when defending our faith, because that's only going to come back to us. Right? Think about this. Peter tried using violence, right? When Yahshua got arrested, and what happened? It didn't work. Yahshua had to do a miracle to heal the man. It becomes very hard to defend certain things in Yahweh's word if we don't obey it. How are we going to defend things that we don't even bother obeying? Love our fellow man, and love for Yahweh's truth will separate us from the mainstream folks who say they believe. There's many people, they say they believe. They believe in Yahweh's word, but not enough to go the extra mile to actually keep the commandments. And that's not to puff our chest out. We're just saying what we're seeing. What you're seeing from other people when they come to you and they say, yeah, I believe in the Bible. Well, what about the Sabbath? Well, okay, that's you. You're speaking for yourself. In James, it says that even demons believe and tremble. Think about it. Even demons, these are fallen messengers. They believe in Yahshua. They know who he is. They tremble when they see him. So just saying we believe is cheap nowadays, right? There's no contract. We didn't sign a contract. We can, you know, say whatever, but it won't hold weight in the court. So baptism into Yahshua, being converted and walking according to the precepts of Yahweh, demonstrates not only to our fellow man, but also to Yahweh and Yahshua, that we are truly serious of the kingdom. Not only that, and the promises that he lays out for you. There's many promises that have yet to be claimed because his kingdom is not set up yet. How are you going to be a king or a ruler if you're not even well-versed in the basics? Right? How can I teach you Spanish if I don't know the language myself? That's just an example, right? I can tell you, well, this means that and this means that. Oh, yeah, I found it online or I looked it up. But we usually go with experience. Yahshua has the most experience. He has a lot to say. Look at Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 46. If you go to Luke. As they say, Yahshua, you know, he did the walking, so he can do the talking. And the good thing about him is that he's not an arrogant individual. A lot of people still hold Yahshua dead on a cross today. That's the problem. He's sitting at the right hand of Yahweh right now. He's not a dead Messiah. I mean, he takes our prayers before Yahweh. Without him, think about it. We got to go to a temple and kill dead animals. Luke chapter 12, verses 12 through 46. And the master said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the master of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Yahshua's coming. Are we prepared? Do we have our house in order? This is speaking to us. Who is that servant that is paying attention to what Yahweh is saying? It says, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What is that talking about? Keeping the commandments of Yahweh. Teaching the word. If you get a chance, you teach the word. If not, you do your best to walk in it. Here's a question. What do you do when you defend the city? Think about it. You're a king. Think about it. You're President Obama. Somebody's coming to attack the United States. What do you do? Right? Now, how about this one? How about when you defend your family or your reputation? How do you do that? Right? This takes some form of action, right? You don't just sit there and say, oh, I'm so-and-so. You have to obey me. Do what I say. Takes action. Military action. Right? You have to defend your family, right? You have to defend your reputation. People attack you. How do you do that? Do you go grab a gun? Think about it. Do you defend your faith by preaching false doctrine or by knowingly following error? Is that how you do it? I hope not. Obedience is the key to unlock blessings. While the deceitfulness of sin only brings on the consequences of sin. Think about it. People come into the truth, then they follow some false doctrine, they fall out of the faith. Does that bring them blessings or not? What does that bring you when you go teaching false doctrine? It might bring you blessings for maybe a little while. You might even make some money out of it. But what does it bring you when you stand before Yahweh? There's a question. What does it bring you? Well, you won't stand before Yahshua because you won't get that chance, see? Yahweh is so much smarter than your world-class chess master. And he knows our hearts and desires. As it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and part of verse 9, Hebrews 12, part of verse 9, it says, Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? That's a question to us. Would we rather be in subjection to Yahweh, or would you rather be in subjection to the evil one? Which one? Yahweh is compassionate. He forgives your sins. Does the evil one do that? Did the evil one send his son to die for you? Does he do that? Does the evil one try to keep you from the kingdom? Does he bring back memories of sins that you committed? You get into a fight with somebody, they start throwing back all those things that you did. Bitterness. Is that what Yahweh does? Think about it. He let Yahshua die and he raised him up from the dead. Man, what more you want? That's more than $1 million. Romans 6:16, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Obedience and righteousness in the same sentence. How can that be? In closing, let's look at a couple of summaries. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 29. These are encouraging verses. They uplift us. They encourage us to walk in the right way. Deuteronomy 6, verse 29. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim, as he has commanded us. So in one place it says our righteousness is as filthy rags, yes, because we try to do it on our own. But when you observe Yahweh's commandments, it says right here that it shall be our righteousness if we observe Yahweh's commandments. Why? Because they're his commandments and he is holy and we're not. You see? Yahweh can say we're blameless, yet we still make mistakes and we're still sinners and we still need a Savior. See? So he doesn't contradict himself. It makes sense. So again, how do you defend your faith? Is it by obeying the one you worship or by disobeying the one you worship? This is a question you have to answer for yourself to Yahweh. Say what you want. We can say what we want to each other. But like the scripture says, he knows all those deep desires that you have. He knows that already. He knows that. I mean, every hair on your head. If you disobey Yahweh knowingly, then you worship self. There's no way around that. How can you worship self and still say you worship Yahweh? So in closing, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. We should know this one by heart also. You can highlight this one. It reads in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Pray that this has been helpful and pray that you've been inspired. And if not, pray that it at least whet your appetite. And may Yahweh bless you.